Is that recording? Should we see if it sounds good? I'm gonna untie that, I think. Is this tied well?
Yeah.
It's like directly positioned above the.
Kind of falling there.
What people will wonder where this bodyless voices are coming from. Behind the camera.
You'd be really quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, it's probably not going to be the best audio quality in the world, but it'll do.
Oh.
Do we have to say a prayer or something? I think you're the expert in that, probably. No? The Last Supper?
Oh.
Yeah, what will you say before you...
I'm going to say the menu. That's what I'm going to say.
Menu? So we have mango ceviche right there with mushrooms. So we'll start by serving that.
Oh, we should start. Does anybody want wine?
I'll have some wine.
Okay, sure.
Me as well.
You look like a regular waiter, Andre.
Did you ever see that website that... I can't remember the name of it, but it just like shows everybody's like last meal before they're executed in the United States.
I have to check that out. I don't know what it's called.
I could find out for you, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's actually fascinating to see what people, because they can order whatever they want.
Yeah,
they
it depends what state actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This one they could order whatever they want because they had some crazy stuff.
A lot of them, it's like you can order anything that they normally serve in the cafeteria. Like stuff like that. Pretty
oh, lucky.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's Sunday, but I can eat what's for
Tuesday.
It kind of has this other appeal to it.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't notice. It's gross. Thanks. Thanks.
Was it like Anita Hill with the hair and the coke?
Well, you know, it was... the idea was to serve all this Latin American food. I don't know if that would lead to somewhere or not. But I hope you enjoy this.
Maybe you could tell us where each dish is from.
This is Colombian, actually. But you know, each one has been slightly modified. It's not the original recipe. I introduced changes because I had to adapt myself to the available ingredients.
Local produce.
Yeah. And so this is a ceviche. Usually ceviche is made with fish, right? But it's vegetarian ceviche. So.
Ceviche usually just means like raw fish, right? Or means something like
mariscos, you know, like seafood.
Yeah. But so like it's cooked in like lime, and so like the acid from the actual like lemon or lime is what cooks the seafood. Mm. So like technically these vegetables are cooked even though they appear raw, but they're surface cooked from a chemical reaction
with the fish.
With the fish or with anything, like when you put an acid on, slightly changes the chemical components of the exterior.
expert, or do you just know that?
I've worked in food forever.
Okay.
So, and my mom's like a home ec teacher.
What?
My mom teaches culinary arts.
Okay.
So I grew up with it, like having to research recipes and teach, like, she taught, like, culinary foods from around the world. So she would have to contextualize everything based on, like, where it's from and how, you know, division of labor changed the way how the food was made and all this other stuff. So, like, when a new product comes out, it's pretty exciting. We're, like right now we're really excited because Trader Joe's just came out with these tortillas that when you microwave, they become crispy.
How's that work?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't this awesome? This is, like...
Do they use a special container?
They also become crispy if you microwave
too. Yeah, they can be, but in a not, like, comfortable, good way, like, crispy, like, evil crispy, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you have those fried bananas?
Does that go inside of here?
No. Not really.
No, it's usually, like, a dessert.
It's like a dessert. So we have a dessert together with the appetizer.
Andres, this is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's very good. Is it customary to have dessert with the appetizer? Or is that just a personal modification?
It's another personal modification.
Yeah. So the crispy
tortilla?
Mm-hmm.
Well, food chemists came up with this. There's actually people out there that their job is just to, like, mix food, microwave it and see what it does.
Hmm.
So, somebody in Natick, Massachusetts came up with this, and we're very excited about it.
Food technology.
Food technology in the 20th century or 21st century, I guess we're in now.
So, that same burrito would not turn crispy if it was put in the oven?
No,
or if it was. Oh, it would. Oh, okay. So, any heat, it's not like microwave radiation.
But the difference is that this is without oil, meaning that between the layers of the oil, layers of the when they make the tortilla,
mm-hmm.
they must use like a type of hydrogenated oil that like disperses in a different way, or however they like, you know, whatever materials they use, it just makes the oil kind of distribute more evenly, so it actually cooks it from the inside and it makes a bubble and do all this cool stuff. So it's like, wow, this like super science-y tortilla makers. Like they should win something. Like there should be an Olympics for this or a prize.
Maybe Google will do something with it.
But isn't a tortilla just like corn flour and water?
Yeah.
So I think that's gross that they can make like a high-tech tortilla. That's like high-tech water.
Yeah, which
they
already have, right?
It's not high-tech water. It looks pretty bogus to me.
What does it do? How does it improve your life?
Who knows, but it's more expensive, and it's got extra stuff in it, which is not right somehow.
Who decided
that funny
more
that
stuff was
the technology
way
department?
Society.
As a medical.
You realized Ludditism is the better,
children,
better
they,
route.
Children are really
they wanted
now.
It.
They wanted it, and they got it. Should we blame it on the parents? What do you
on the children?
They're genetically engineering rice now, though, right, to help children in the third world who suffer from diarrhea. Pardon the subject.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's definitely
what,
high-tech
what
food.
Like
what do they put in the
point.
Rice, or how do they like?
You know, I'm not sure exactly the technique or the genes that they modify, but presumably it will help children in the developing world with their diarrhea problems.
Just
very
help them
effectively.
Bind up more.
Huh. Bind up?
They'll help them bind up more, so they won't have as much diarrhea.
I'm sorry, I'm physiological. Yeah. I think you know more
awesome.
About diarrhea than I do.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, there's so many causes. I mean, wouldn't
I don't know.
The water? Yeah, right. I mean, I guess in their case, it probably would be. I don't know. Sorry.
It depends. apparently it's okay for first world little kids too. It'll help them with their stomach problems. Also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did you hear about this?
That I actually think I heard in a class that I'm not taking called Biotechnology and Society. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot, I mean, there's like tons of news articles about genetically modified products constantly.
Mm.
It's like a really crazy huge subject. Like Monsanto actually patented, or like, they somehow genetically engineered a strain of rice so that it would be infertile in the next season. So it could only produce one, like, crop yield. And then farmers would have to buy a new, you know, bag of seeds or whatever and plant that, which would, again, be... is infertile the right word for that?
So then they would, like...
Sounds right to me.
They wouldn't leach this oil
so they have to pay more money.
Vitamins, or like, is it to like preserve
the Monsanto
soil?
Thing is just so
to
that they'll
money,
keep buying
right?
seeds
yeah.
from Monsanto.
Oh really? Oh,
like they like
oh.
interrupt the natural process actually of.
Pretty genius.
Yeah. How would anybody even buy those in the first place then?
I think there's some advantage to doing so. I'm sure, like some kind of. Monetary break.
Advantage is because they won't sue you if you don't use their seeds. They make most of their money by suing farmers that they catch using their strain of genetics, even
right.
though they haven't paid
yeah.
for them.
Really?
Yeah.
And that happens because their neighboring, the neighboring farms that use genetically modified seeds cross-pollinate with the organic farms.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Monsanto lawyers show up and test the genes of the organic farm and say, we can prove that you have our patented genes in your crops and we're going to sue you for not paying us.
Yeah, it's horrible. I remember watching this this movie about it. I think it was like a wheat farmer that, you know, pretty much like lost his farm because Monsanto sued him for that. And it was really just like a case of the wind blowing it into his farm.
That's the thing, they're not trying to get money out of these farmers either because they couldn't pay a settlement anyways because they're poor to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to get the land. So they settle for the rights to the property.
Hmm.
So those guys own a lot of the United States, I don't know.
Well, that was also happening in Mexico too with their corn plants. Like there was like, genetically modified corn that was being like infiltrating the corn as well, and they did the same thing. So, yeah, it's happening everywhere.
I wonder if there's like a way that you can, prevent your crops from getting it on with the other crops.
They'd have to find the gene for that.
Crop prophylactics.
It'd be cool to actually get on that, though. Maybe I should become a genetic biologist and fix it.
Maybe you should just stop buying food.
That's a good idea.
You should just starve. Or just make their own.
I think they're also doing some research into how to like more effective like create that somehow make the metabolism of soldiers. Like DARPA's doing like some of the craziest research of anybody that is doing research right now. And one thing they were trying to do, I think, was to optimize metabolism so that a soldier like wouldn't have to eat or sleep for prolonged periods of time. And it wouldn't like harm them, presumably physically, like, and they would have energy still. So maybe we could get some of that.
Get some of those pills.
Wow.
would be a great life.
I mean, I've heard that, I mean, like, lack of sleep, I think I was telling Elliot, because he never sleeps, that,
thank you.
I mean, sleep deprivation has been a form of torture for, like, you know, hundreds of years. Like, it's really, I mean, like, there are, like, testimonies, I guess, of people that have experienced that who felt like, after 3 or 4 days of no sleep, that they wanted to kill themselves. Like, it wasn't, they couldn't imagine a, like, a worse state of being, you know? And it's something as simple as, like, some water dropping on your face, you know, and preventing you from sleeping, and that, like, or a loud noise preventing you from, that, like, comes in, like, constantly, that's, like, preventing you from sleeping. And I mean, your immune system stops functioning, like, you can die of some kind of bacterial infection, or, you know, like, it's really intense. Like, I can't imagine that soldiers would be able to last for very long, like, how they would figure that out, you know?
Well, actually, apparently it's really easy to just, like, change your sleeping schedule so that you're awake for, like, 48 hours, and then you sleep for 24. They did experiments on it at some time.
So they wouldn't actually be, like, awake for days. It would just be, like...
2 days.
2 days.
But that's not the soldiers thing. That's a different thing.
Okay.
They also tried to, like, totally different, but simulate weightlessness, like, in a long time ago, by having people lie in bed for a year. And they had to, like, everything was delivered to them in bed. And they
get shingles, though. Like, you get shingles.
Oh, yeah?
Like, people that are dying and stuff are stuck in big bed sores,
yeah.
With shingles. So,
what are shingles?
They're
terrible. Conversation.
They're like these strips of, like, your skin hardens, and it's, like, super painful. It's, like,
yeah.
It feels like you're being stabbed. It's, like, and it's from people when they're stuck in beds. It's really awful. Like, you get these things all over the back of your body, so, like, if you're dying, you have to be rotated a lot, or else you, like, are in pain when you're in bed. And it really sucks.
Wow.
But it'd be cool if they could figure out real weightlessness for people that are dying, so they could just float, so they wouldn't get shingles.
Send them to the moon.
Or put them in one of those
hospitals
sensory
on the moon.
That would be really... You could,
yeah,
like,
sensory deprivation tanks.
Sensory deprivation.
Yeah.
You could just float in beds of water.
I'm sure it would present other problems.
I think they should build hospitals on the moon.
It's hard being human, all these sensory things.
I'm glad all this was spurred on by the food.
It was an unusual combination of events leading to the dinner. Yeah.
It was an initial student.
Unusual.
Oh, unusual.
Yeah.
Is that a story for later?
Oh, yeah.
Should we move to Plantinos, or is everybody...
I already moved over there.
Yeah, I moved too.
Well,
we can switch this out.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good call.
I want to try it.
They're really good.
They're
okay?
Yeah,
they're great.
Wait,
is
that? Okay.
You just eat them.
Oh, yeah.
So we just down and eat them.
Let's go for honey.
Mmm. I hope that's not, like, the climax of the meal.
It's not.
Because it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, so how did you cook that?
Oh, you just a lot of
oil.
It's just oil and bananas. Really? Oh. It's just patience, because you gotta, like, the sugars come out of the bananas. It's a little science-y, but they come out, because it's, like, hot, and the sugar moves to the surface, and then the heat, it turns black because it caramelizes it, so it's a form of caramel. Like, you know when you have, what is that stuff that's made out of chocolate? You take a blowtorch to, and it makes it, like, crystallized?
Kind of creme brulee?
Yeah, creme brulee. That's caramelized sugar. So, like, you crack it open, and you're, like, it's crystallized.
Mm.
And then a little banana, like, a little honey makes it. Mm-hmm.
I like food science.
I guess, yeah, my mom studied nutrition, so she's, like, kind of, I guess, a food scientist. Because you have to, like, understand how it actually works in your body.
Really?
Yeah, she studied from the, like, angle of child development, so, like, what happens to children that don't get certain foods, like, how it affects their brain and their ability to learn, or why they're shorter. Some children don't grow as well as others. And stuff like that.
Thank you.
Like, so what about that starvation? There's, like, actually, there's this guy, Ray Kurzweil, who he's, like, this futurist who wrote a book called The Singularity Is Near about how machines will surpass human intelligence. And he has, like, a whole regimen that he claims to be, like that will, that optimizes, that basically he treats his body like a machine. And he, all his food is fed to him intravenously. And he has, like, a really specific diet. And he, speaking of sleep, says you need to sleep 8 hours in order to function optimally. So he's all about optimizing the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's pretty great.
Did he say what his regimen was?
I'm not
was
sure
like
what
a
it is.
Perfect balance of carbohydrates and protein.
He pays like $7,000 to some nutritionist in Boulder, Colorado, to prescribe him like specific regimen that's like derived from blood tests and like all these kind of like. All these measurements on his body, so it wouldn't really pertain to anybody else.
Wow. But what is this, like, body percentage fat, like, all that stuff? Does he, like, calculate all this?
Yeah. No, he...
Every day.
He used to be, like, a normal person, and then he, like, hooked up with this crazy guy in Colorado and paid him lots of dough, and so now he's, like, optimal everything. He just paid for it because he's like rich from his books already.
Mm-hmm.
RMT actually invented a musical instrument, I think, the Kurzweil. It's like a keyboard of some kind, synthesizer.
Mm-hmm. He invented a machine that can do optical character recognition from like JPEGs or something like that. He's like a crazy genius, but he's kind of
crazy
than genius.
He's a crazy genius who's religious about machines taking over the world.
Is he like a transhumanist or like an...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's why the whole reason that he pays for $7,000 doctor visits is because he wants to live through the moment that we can transcend our bodies. Because
mm-hmm.
he feels like it's worth any amount of money that he has to make sure that he doesn't die before
mm-hmm.
that happens. Because
he wants to
he'll be immortal.
Yeah.
Because once the singularity comes, then he'll be immortal. So he'll pay all of his money now so that he can be immortal. Because he feels like it would be the most tragic thing to die, like, the year before.
It would be, if you really wanted to live.
Well, if anybody will die
old.
The year before, it'll be
yeah.
him, because he's always, like, talking about it. That'd be, like, the ultimate irony. He still rides his bike to work, too.
Wow.
He should live in a bubble. If he really wants to make it.
Yeah, if I get hit by a bus.
I know, he could. Or a meteorite could fall out of the sky and hit him in the head.
Yeah, what was with the boy in the bubble? Wasn't there like a boy in the bubble like in the 80s? I remember like
a
seeing
real
him
boy?
On, yeah, I remember seeing him on TV. I don't know what he had. He had some sort of... Maybe it was like before they knew what AIDS was. They'd be like tuning into the boy in the bubble. I don't know if you remember this. I remember seeing it on TV a lot. There's this kid that lived in a bubble.
I didn't see that.
Maybe it was just like an East Coast thing. Maybe he lived in New York or something. And they're like, oh, local news or something. The boy in the bubble! This place always looked kind of cool. Like, everything had to be, like, kind of given to him from through these like chambers, and then he would like take it in, and it had, everything had to be like.
How old was he?
He was like 10, 11. Never went to school. He had a teacher come, hang out in front of him, like in front of his bubble.
Just stare at him.
Like talk to him and teach him stuff. And it was a cool looking space. But it was like apparently very expensive when they interviewed the parents. And
his mom was just really protective. That's why he was in
trouble. Nothing wrong with him.
No, it's possible. I don't know. They used to do feature all these like strange like kids that could paint with their toes, that had like no arms and could barely talk.
I saw one thing. I don't know if it was the same show, but it was about someone who had like one leg and a foot. And like that's it. But they got by. Like they did everything with their toes on their one foot, and they
like
they wrote. Yeah, they wrote. They picked up a pencil between their two toes, and
they draw like portraits.
Yeah, exactly. They were like highly skilled. Yeah.
Yeah,
I always admired.
That would suck. I'm sorry. It just would really suck. There's like no way. I was never convinced on those shows that it was gonna be all right. That kid. It's not gonna be alright. Just because he can like do one thing that's normal as everyone else does not mean he's gonna be fine and he's a happy person.
I don't know. Well, they say, I mean, there are some studies that say that your happiness is largely determined by, you know, like your biological makeup and not by your circumstances. I mean, like up to a point, you know, obviously, but. I think this is a pretty well-known study, but they followed people that won the lottery, like, you know, their happiness level, you know, right after they won the lottery and 6 months later, and also people that became quadriplegics and, you know, followed them from right after that happened to 6 months later, and they pretty much, like, all leveled out to their happiness level from before, like, those events. Or, yeah.
Well, there's supposedly, like, an economic, like, you know, place where you can be that is like, if you're too low on the economic spectrum, you're unhappy. But if you're too high on the economic spectrum, you're also unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually being somewhere in between, like, between those two extremes is the...
It's also cultural, depending on, like, where you're from.
Happiness?
Yeah.
In general?
Yeah. Like, Scandinavians tend to be happier than Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically.
Or maybe, like, they're culturally told to say that they're happy.
I mean, that's
they were just instructed by their government to say they're happy on the poll.
Yeah. For your nation.
I feel like if either a government's going to instruct them, it would be us instructing our citizens.
What's in the pot?
The soda.
Oh.
You want to try?
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful pot.
Does anyone take a ceramics class at UCLA?
Yeah.
You have?
One now.
You're in one now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it easy to get into those classes?
Yeah.
It's actually,
You're a grad, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm grad.
Yeah. They told about you in.
Awesome. Do you have to be in a class to use their facilities? Yeah, probably, right?
Maybe not. If you talk to the Jared, the lab tech, he might
to
let
Jared?
You. Yeah, since Jared. He's pretty helpful.
What's his vice?
I don't know. I know he really likes to smoke.
Smoke?
Yeah.
What brand?
I should probably find out for you.
Find out. Like Marlboro Reds, Camel.
Are you
Camel.
In design, design grad?
Yeah, I'm in the design media arts program.
I know. Some other does my grad. Took a bunch of classes in the ceramics department.
Yeah?
I don't know his name, though.
Those labs look, like, so cool. Like, it's my image of what California should be. It's, like, that outside area where everyone's, like, got their little table and their...
There's Gil, right?
Hmm?
Gil.
Is that the student grad him? I've never had class with him. I just saw him all the time.
Yeah.
He invented the one-string guitar.
Yeah,
Gil.
That guy. Yeah. He was doing a guitar in the ceramics program.
Yeah, I talked to him about that, actually.
Is that hard to do? It looks like it's pretty tricky.
That was the most intense class I've ever seen at UCLA, actually. They were there to, like 2 a.m. every night.
Yeah, he was. He kind of.
He was there all the time.
Yeah, he was all crazy about making ceramics all of a sudden.
Yeah. The head of the department taught that class, and he's really amazing ceramicist.
Oh, is it Adrian?
It's Adrian's class, yeah.
What are you guys making in that class? Like,
I think it's pretty open in my class. I don't know. I think Adrian's class is a little bit more structured. Yeah, but for us, we're actually going to do ceramic decals.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a machine that can print images onto ceramics after they're fired.
Prints
it's like a photo UV glaze thing.
It prints
yeah.
an enamel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can like put enamels into a laser jet printer, like a special kind, or an inkjet printer, and it prints the enamels if they were ink, and then you can like slide it off the paper onto the ceramic, and then you fire it really low. It's a really low firing, like way cooler than glaze, and then it sticks on there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You guys have such small plates.
I know.
That's the children's table.
Have you done ceramics before?
Yeah. I like them. I used to make little instruments with them, but then I threw them away, like I threw them somewhere. And then I don't have them anymore.
That's a bummer.
I miss them.
What kind of instruments?
Like these balls. I call them mer balls. They were like, had these like fingers inside of them that kind of behave like rain sticks. So you could like roll them down a hill and they'd make like different types of sounds and stuff. And like different types of materials would make different sounds and have different resonance.
That's awesome.
They're really great in porcelain. Porcelain really sounded beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're really fragile.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's kind of. Yeah, you have to like specially request to work with porcelain at UCLA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, you have to.
You have to like get them to order it usually.
Oh, it's expensive.
They don't usually teach.
It's really fun to throw with porcelain because it's so lightweight. Like it just moves really fast, and like you can get these really intricate forms in it. It's good for speaker mounts.
Okay.
It's just like really easy to make nice looking speaker mounts. That you can like hang really easily.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in a Buñuel movie.
You're gonna hide under the table when the people with the guns come in.
Have to get up to go to the bathroom and
just climb out the window when you're in there.
Okay.
This pozole is really good.
It's really good.
It's fiery.
It's good.
I like it.
I like the spice.
What is it called?
Pozole.
Pozole.
It's like P-O-Z-O-L-E.
Where is it from?
I don't know. It's like,
it's
where's
Mexico.
It from?
It's Mexican?
So you can put rice in it too.
Thank you very much.
You can just pretend it's an interesting chantilly.
It's a
pinata.
It's a pinata.
It's a pinata.
That's where the dessert is in.
Too spicy?
No. No, it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's more like a kind of soup, almost.
Like a what?
Like a soup.
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 Or sopa, right?
Sopa.
You know what would be
good
in this too?
Like a soup?
Yeah, usually not as liquidy, but...
Oh, okay.
It'd be good with little, like, tortilla, like...
Tortilla?
Like, little tortilla, like,
mm.
strips.
Uh-huh.
Like, little rainbow flag strips. Like, floating in there. What do you think? Add a little extra texture. Do you make this often for yourself?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have variations?
Not really.
So did you come back in from the bathroom window?
No, I came from the side. Actually, there was a wrecking ball, and it, you know, whacked a hole in the wall. Sorry, but I climbed back in through there. It was cold outside.
It is kind of cold out.
Yeah.
Does it get colder?
Not really.
This is the
coldest. Who knows?
Well, I guess who knows.
Nobody knows.
Usually
it's supposed to be hot
doesn't get much colder than this.
I was kind of excited about the cold.
Me too.
It's pretty terrible last week.
Yeah.
Never has the weather been a more exciting subject than in the throes of what they call global warming.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of the weather patterns as, like, determining, like, the ways that, like, is determining your behavior or, like, motivations or goals or different other things? I mean, I don't know. There's, I mean, we're, like, we're in LA, so we don't really experience seasons in the way that other people experience seasons, you know? I mean, like, some other places have, like, much more dramatic seasons.
Most places.
But I think there is, like, a shift.
Fuck LA.
Yeah. I know, I'm sorry. I know that's been the theme of the night. But I mean,
fuck you.
But I don't know, do you guys feel like there's
no editing?
No,
right?
I won't edit out
anything. No.
Okay.
Good. What is the question in there, Grace?
Whoa.
It was kind of a statement.
Elliot, whoa. Would you like to ask a question,
no.
maybe?
No, I want
no.
to know what the question
no.
is in your statement.
I
want to know what the
can.
Question is in your statement. Yes?
I think I have an opinion about, I mean, just because I got here, what, a month ago?
From where?
From Massachusetts most recently, and I've never lived on the West Coast before, and... Massachusetts, it has really, really, really changing weather. It's very dynamic, and it's very cold, like negative 10 degrees cold,
mm-hmm.
Basically from December until March. So
a constant source of, like, conversation also.
Weather is a major issue. And I worked at a school for some time, and it affected people's lives in a really interesting way, like how it challenges people to try to, like, their livelihood, being able to get to work, being able to take care of their children, being able to, like, it's just, like, suddenly you will dump, like, 8 or 9 inches of snow one day in, like, 3 hours. So, like, all the roads get, like, frozen over. And, like, my boyfriend was stuck in traffic coming out of Boston for 7 hours. 7 hours to get 20 miles.
Wow.
So weather's, like, a real issue there, and I moved here mostly because I was sick of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I moved here specifically because I just wanted to get away from that weather.
Mm-hmm.
And now I miss it.
When did you get here? A month ago?
Do you feel like it changes your state of mind at all? Like, I mean, just like watching seasons change. Like, I don't know. I think
absolutely.
I've been interested recently in like certain like rhythms of our lives that we don't necessarily respond to as or acknowledge as easily as like our ancestors did, but that still affect us in certain ways that we may like attribute to other things. I don't know. But I think it's interesting. Like,
how are you going about researching it? I'm just curious, like, from an artistic standpoint, or from...
Not really. This is more just, like, something that I just, like, recently was thinking about. But I've been reading Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth, which is, like, he's, you know, really interesting and knows a lot about myths. And... like certain like fundamental ideas that we that are like such a like essential part of our perspective on our lives and on like reality that we like can't really escape them, and they like manifest themselves in all these like different ways. And I don't know, I mean, it's like I think it's really interesting how like we sort of like go to like death in the winter and then we like we are like reborn in the spring, and like how this cycle happens that is like manifested in all these different ways, like in like fashion, for example, even, you know, how there's like this constant rebirth that we acknowledge in this like particular art form, you know, that like reflects our lives like through the seasons, or I don't know. So I'm like thinking about it in that way, just like if...
But is there a seasonal art form?
I don't know.
I mean, I think
you mean
that's
an art
like,
form that changes with the season?
Yeah, I mean, that. I think that's a cure... I think the... From what you were saying, that was the question that, like, I was like, huh, is there such a thing as a seasonal art form?
It's interesting
like,
to trace people's projects and see if they change based on the season.
Yeah, I would...
I think it would depend on how dynamic the weather is. You know, like, from my own process, I've noticed... I mean, I'm curious what's going to happen to me this year, because in the winter I tend to be more, like, really interior studio-based, and I do more performances in the spring and the fall.
What about Andy Goldsworthy?
Oh.
That's seasonal.
Yeah.
Kind of.
In the summer he throws dirt, in the winter he throws snow.
Yeah, but he's still throwing something.
But he's still throwing the material.
Where does he live? Do you live in Santa Fe?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Well, because like Santa Fe, you can go in the mountains and throw the snow.
I thought he lived in one of the like the eastern states.
I have no idea where he lives.
I'm sure he travels around to make his work anyways.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, I think seasons have huge impacts on, like, culture and, I don't know.
Well, it's definitely interesting that at one point you were moving with the seasonal change, right? Like, you're actually moving as a hunter-gatherer to places where you could, you know, actually get food, so it was like a continuous season almost.
Yeah, like a migration.
Perhaps.
Mm.
And people always say that that is our genetic like heritage, you know, that's our genetic lineage, that's how we understand the world on a like very ancient primordial level, so it's kind of an interesting thought
like
in the midst of
migration. Like
yeah, well, it was only when we started developing agriculture that we were like staying in the same place where the seasons were changing instead of us moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really changes our relationship with our environment, you know, that we're adapting our, like, behavior to deal with, like, what, like, this fixed place, you know, that, like, we needed to, like, store things, you know, and, like, you know, keep close to other people. We needed to have like our community at like certain times. We couldn't just like be off like in our like small groups or something, you know,
yeah.
to like
Well, we had to also
follow,
like
follow
you know, take nature under our own control, I guess. Whereas before we were operating based on like
Mm-hmm. Well, we were sort of taking it under our own control and moving a little bit.
You could, I guess so.
Kind of, yeah.
Why did the Dust Bowl, like the Dust Bowl, like why do people still hang around then? Like why do people just like roll out of there? Just like go
yeah.
north or... Because I think that would probably be the time in our most recent history where it's like that whole system collapsed on it. Like, our whole ideology about, like, staying one place and homesteading
mm-hmm.
didn't, like, work.
Yeah.
And, like, we kind of had to confront that, like, choice.
People did leave. That's why they had the migrant farm workers.
Yeah, but there's still so many people who stayed.
They didn't have the means. Like, the migrant farm workers were primarily just, like, getting on freight trains illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody else didn't have an option.
They just had to stay. Cause
they just had to stay and suffer.
Because they couldn't, like, take their children with them, or they couldn't...
It's the same reason nobody left when Katrina came.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, too.
It's not like they wanted to stay.
Yeah.
They couldn't leave. They're too poor. Like, people were hopping trains.
But,
like,
as a society, why do we keep building there? Like, we're building it every time.
Because we're stupid.
Fuck. I hope the latter course of the meal is more optimistic.
I'll be back to
going into winter.
We'll come full circle.
That's what it's all about,
literally.
I guess that's the loop. We started with dessert, so.
Oh, yeah.
Started with the what?
We started with dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Dessert and appetizer at the same time, so the loop was going to happen.
Definitely.
The loop was already fulfilled. This is just adding on. Maybe there will be several loops.
What a different way to dine.
Each course brings a new loop.
I'm making some coffee.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, you guys are talking about, like, locations, like, places to live. What have you guys decided from our whole, like, L.A.?
I didn't know
imagine
that.
L.A.
Oh,
conversation.
I didn't know
like,
we
what's
all
the story?
No,
well,
no, no, no. Give her a chance
to
find glory.
She'll
to
find out for
way.
Herself.
Nobody.
Everybody always says L.A. sucks.
It
but I want to.
I mean, predictable, right? Predictable.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So are you
maybe
the people that migrate here are just predictable people?
Because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
No.
There's things I like about it. I mean, I like there's certain things I like about it over New York, over Brooklyn, over Philadelphia, over Chicago, over Boston, over a lot of places I've lived already.
But besides the weather.
No, besides the weather, like parking, for example. I'm really, really happy about the mall that I went to that has a little green... red lights over the parking spot.
Oh, I went there the other day for the first time. I was
that's a good use of lighting.
I kind of felt a little unnecessary, to be honest.
Oh, for me, this is totally great. Because,
huh.
Like, I really love going to malls.
Okay.
So, I really like LA so far because there's a lot of malls.
It's a new
here.
Thing. I've seen
yeah.
two in the last, like, couple months, but I hadn't seen it before that.
You should go to the Glendale Gallery. What are you talking about? It's like the epic mall.
Each spot has a light above it that's either red if there's a car there or green if there's not a car there. So you can, like,
so
just
you can
look.
Know if there's a car there or
yeah,
not.
Without having to drive down each lane.
I see. Oh, I thought it
the
was,
Glendale
like,
Galleria,
in front of
they
every
recently,
parking spot.
I mean, it's, like, the biggest
telling
mall,
you whether there's
in
all
of
Los
Angeles.
Above.
Oh, it's above the end.
And then they just have this whole, like, exterior now that's, like, this crazy little mall village. You know, it's like the Grove, but 10 times.
So
as intense.
Grove freaked me out, actually.
Yeah. Oh, it's really interesting, though. It's worth
I went to this
investigating.
the place where they, what was it? That Kubrick movie that he took over. It wasn't his movie. Somebody else dropped it, and then he took it over.
Okay.
Ben-Hur. It was a set from Ben-Hur, but they made it into a mall. And it's a great discount mall. They have really great discounts. But it was completely obnoxious because it's like this really bad kind of set that's now a mall. From
it's not the Citadel, is it?
Yeah, it's a Citadel.
That's there used to be a movie set?
Part of it, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it makes no sense at all. Like, it's like a big organic, like the
yeah,
big,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like eagles and all this bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, it's
been
terrible.
For shopping.
It makes sense, though, if you've seen it.
And
it
then
makes
you...
sense knowing that it was a movie set before.
Yeah.
What do you like about malls?
They are very comfortable. I don't know. I think it's...
reason?
I think it's... Like, I don't know. It's like, I really like going to places to shop. It's like what I like to do to relax.
Mm. You're not alone. I mean, not me necessarily.
Yeah. I'm like a big percentage of the population does this. I mean, I don't buy anything. I just go there and look at stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I go to like I'll go to a mall for a whole day and buy nothing.
Hmm.
Just like it's like what I do to kind of relax.
That's so crazy because I find it very stressful.
Me, yeah, no,
I have
absolutely.
To get paid
stressful.
To go to the mall.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why don't you just work at the mall?
Because that's not relaxing. Like, I like the idea of being able to go into a store and, like, see how things are laid out and think about how they're trying to retail them and
mm-hmm.
why they chose that shopkeeper versus another shopkeeper and how they approach.
It's weird.
It's like... My favorite place to shop is actually department stores, and I don't even buy anything. I was at the mall today, actually.
Well, they are really, like, very specifically designed,
yeah.
right, to facilitate...
Systematic.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, if I really am depressed, I'll go to IKEA.
The biggest mall.
This is a lie.
No,
a goddamn fabrication.
Specifically when I miss my mom, I go to IKEA and I order Swedish meatballs that are, like, disgusting. And, like, and she's not Swedish.
In the ballroom.
Don't go in the ballroom. Yeah.
Huh.
It's probably too much information. But, I know where the IKEA is. I haven't gone yet, so things haven't gotten that bad.
A couple around here, yeah.
Yeah, this one's out here. Like,
you can hit the mall, you can hit IKEA in Burbank, and then hit
the
Glendale
mall.
Galleria,
right, yeah.
which is not too far
yeah.
away. That'll be like, save that for the worst day. Because that's going to be like...
Some people go to the ocean, I go to the mall.
Yeah.
That's funny. Actually, if I really miss my mom, I probably would have to go to a mall too, because that's where she goes.
Oh, really?
And that's where I accompany her if we're hanging out.
Foundations of a mother-daughter relationship.
Exactly. Buying lipstick.
See, I don't shop with my mother, though. This is what's complicated. Like, I don't understand what the association is because I don't shop with her.
I think you're good.
Really?
I think it's the idea of having a mom that would shop with you.
Okay.
But my mom's like, that's just lame. I would never do that. Like, she's too cool for the mall.
You would really like my mom.
Pining for, like, that.
That experience.
You should be able to hire a mom.
You should. To go shopping. Maybe there's a Craigslist project in there.
Yeah.
Will
it's
you be my mother?
Nanny. People hire moms.
But as an adult?
Yeah, you can.
A mommy shop.
Nanny would work
sure.
for anybody.
Silly.
You pay him the same amount.
How would you interview for your mother? How many hits would I get if I put this out?
A lot.
You should just find out.
It depends on what category you posted in.
That's true. Looking for a nanny?
Yeah,
there's
that could get
a
little.
I just
want to
take you out.
Just want to go shopping with me.
I just want you to go shopping. Stop it. Put that away. Put the whip away. No, I just want to go shopping.
I saw a Craigslist ad recently for someone who wanted a clown to come to their party and just get really drunk. And that was all. They didn't have to talk to anyone or entertain. They just wanted a clown to like go bar hopping with them all night.
How much did it pay?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it was on like the best of Craigslist. Or
whatever.
I would have done it.
But you didn't.
I know. I found it after it,
oh, okay.
It collapsed. I also don't have
it's
anything
really
to dress up
to think
as a clown.
About, like, all of these like postings that are like or essentially like dead or like not functional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like how where do they exist after they kind of collapse?
They disappear after a while.
Really?
I think
is that how people write
up.
Those
yeah.
programs? Is that like after a certain amount of time they just kind
I
of
so,
like
yeah.
disappear?
I think they expire.
Yeah.
They have a time.
Expire.
I didn't delete mine, so hopefully it's gone. My apartment.
Okay.
For a mom.
For a mom.
There's actually a My Death Space.
No, I know. Isn't that creepy?
What is that?
What is it?
It's like all the profiles of people who have died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
are like aggregated
that's
onto
not as
a
funny,
particular
URL.
Well, who moves them? I mean, like, how
yeah,
does
I don't
that
know
work?
Who's actually responsible for it.
I think they just link to the MySpace page.
Okay.
So you can,
yeah.
like, browse MySpace pages of
wow.
dead people.
I have a friend who committed suicide in the beginning of college and still has his Facebook up or whatever. It's kind of a
well,
weird situation.
Take it down.
Well,
no,
his family
no.
knows the password, but they just, like, keep it up.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
there's a guy that, that I think died last year at the pool.
Oh, yeah.
And,
at
Facebook
here?
Page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and his Facebook page is still up, and he, like, there's still all these wall postings that, I mean, some of them have to do with, like, I miss you or whatever, but, there are others, like, you know, click the teddy bear and, like,
yeah.
it's my friends, or, like,
my friend.
You know,
it's
do,
kind of sad.
Like, it's just really, like, I don't know, it's really bizarre.
It's
like,
kind
you
of
wonder if they, like, the friend doesn't know if they're, like, just sending them, if, like, there's, like, a web chain or something. I don't
know. Or they don't know that they're dead.
They don't know
yeah.
that they're dead, or, like, maybe they do.
It's really
it's
insensitive.
Like,
but also, like, how many people are, like, some people add people to their pages that aren't really friends with them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just, like, a way of advertising. Mm-hmm. I'm personally against that, but.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny, like, immortality, though, that you have.
Mm.
Like, because it's not like a grave where you don't, like, normally come to somebody's, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're alive, you don't have a grave.
Yeah.
But if you're alive, you still have the same Facebook or MySpace,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of interesting.
But how good is a mm-hmm. Facebook profile as a grave?
People
well,
visit it. I mean,
yeah.
How many people visit your grave, really?
It's more convenient.
It's more convenient.
It
so
and you can post. I mean, otherwise you're, like, putting flowers up and, like,
yeah.
little weird doodads, or you put, like, rocks on top of the grave. Like, everybody has all these different systems for communicating on graves, but...
Yeah, it's the same form of interaction that you would have with the person otherwise.
Yeah,
there's
so much.
But then there's, like, you know, the bloggers that commit suicide and... like have posts that are meant to be put out post-mortem.
Yeah.
Like, what's her face? Jeremy Blake's girlfriend. Teresa Duncan. She had two posts after her suicide. And they were both, like, really cryptic and weird. And it was, like, obvious that she, like, definitely planned it. But didn't know that, like, Jeremy Blake was going to kill himself, too. So it's kind of weird. I was, like, anticipating. I knew that there was one coming because somebody had, like, hacked into their thing and said, oh, there's to be two posts, one on this date and then one on the first of the new year. So I was, like, anticipating what they would say because I really liked her blog.
What did you write about?
She wrote about, like, random stuff. She was sort of a designer, artist, wannabe filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And, both she and Jeremy Blake both developed, like, a form of... There's a French term for it. When one person's crazy and they're so in love, the person goes crazy. I forget what the term is. But she became
merging.
Really, really paranoid. Well, they had never spent, like, a night away from each other in, like, 12 years. So
oh,
it would make it pretty hard. And then
yeah.
I guess... I mean, I didn't know either one of them personally, but from what I... gather from what other people told me that they had some real kind of social problems with other dealers and artists, and also were incredibly afraid of Scientologists, and were accusing like everyone of being Scientologists around them, you know, bashing them in public. It's kind of a bad move to do. And, like, dissing on, you know, accusing, like, Beck of being... Because Jeremy, like, did a lot of stuff for Beck and also for a couple other studios. Like, being like, oh, you're all under the control of Scientologists and Tom Cruise and blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you want to be a person that works in the industry, it's probably not such a smart idea. To kind of, like, go after the most kind of powerful individuals.
Sounds like they might have had some issues, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main issue is that they wanted to be famous really bad.
Okay.
And then when it didn't happen, they blamed everybody for their lack of success, of whatever that means. Like, it was never going to be enough for them, even, like, the success that they had, so they were just miserable. So, yeah, they probably would have been better off being paraplegic. But no, I was really, really affected by their death. I don't know why. I guess the way how Jeremy Blake did it was he just kind of, like, decided to just go... He got off the train, like, the A train in, like, Jamaica, Queens or whatever, and just, like, walked out into the water and just never stopped walking. I'm like, that's a pretty badass way to go. Like, the only way they discovered him was through his, like, teeth. But I'm like, that's bullshit. I bet you they're both still alive. They're still posting on a fucking blog.
So they're Scientologists.
They're really Scientologists. And it's like, well, would you want to perpetuate your own myth? So if you do this really, really dramatic suicide and you post it on the website and you... Someone's bound to make a movie about you. So what is it to be famous? Like, if you want to be famous that badly, like, you'd do anything, right? Sick.
Yeah, I wonder how legal it is to fake your own death if you're not cashing in on life insurance.
You mean it should be legal?
No, I mean, I wonder if it really is illegal.
Why shouldn't you be able to?
Because, like, normally people get busted for cashing in on insurance fraud, but if you're just going to say you're dead and you're not really dead...
Yeah, you should be able to do that.
I'm sure you're breaking some laws, but maybe you're not going to go to federal prison for it.
No.
Well, you wouldn't be paying taxes, so you'd get tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
How does that affect your citizenship as well?
You lose your citizenship.
What do you become a citizen of, then? The universe?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. You're a null.
You're a citizen of the dead.
You don't need to be a citizen. They don't have. They don't prescribe citizenship for something that doesn't exist.
Hmm. That's a new territory.
Well, if they did, that would open up like the floodgates for all sorts of shit. Like, you'd have to give citizenship for your coffee maker or something like that.
Didn't they have
coffee maker exists?
It, well, yeah, it exists, so it has more right to citizenship than a dead person.
But then, I mean, it's the same argument that abortion, you know, people that are like pro-life have, is that the rights of the unborn versus the rights of the non-existent. I mean,
that's not the same argument.
It's almost the same. It's close enough.
They're crazy.
Well, like, there's the rights of the unborn, and then there's the rights...
The rights of the dead.
The rights of the dead.
Are you serious?
There's gotta be... Dead people have rights.
No,
I think
don't.
You should wage this campaign.
No, because wasn't there...
Maybe that's the one I should take.
You're thinking
think
of
so.
Beetlejuice.
No, but there was an issue of the...
That was a fictional movie.
Wasn't it Mormons who were baptizing dead Jews?
What?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it totally was. I'm pretty sure.
Well,
that's rude.
Someone was baptizing dead Jews.
That's so rude.
Yeah, and it was an issue whether or not they, like, you could do that or not.
Yeah, because they're Jewish. They're not Mormon. What
it,
the
it
hell?
Was like the people's family would say that it was okay. After,
what?
Because
they were like, we don't agree with their religion,
I don't
like,
really know.
Because we know what they really want. We know what they really want. By now they would have realized that they should have been Mormon. What the hell? That's a ripoff.
You should tell them.
I think dead people should have rights.
No, they shouldn't have rights. The coffee maker should not have rights because it doesn't know either
way.
We're
going to baptize you after you die.
No.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be buried in a grave site that is a, you know, religion other than my own, or, you know, or like something to that effect. Like,
that's so rude. Seriously. People don't talk bad about each other's mothers, but they're going to go and baptize you to some other religion that you weren't. After a lifetime of devotion to some other complete other belief system.
I think dead people have rights.
And you're going to decide what they are.
No, no, I don't know what they are.
Who's going to speak for them?
The dead.
The medium.
The medium.
The medium. Yeah.
It would have to be the medium.
Okay.
It's you.
No, so I'm not medium.
Medium.
I don't go around.
The medium
with that
takes responsibility for, like, however many rights, however many people. Like, I'm in charge of 50 people. And I vote for them, too.
You take
like
organizes every year.
Yeah. I vote for them.
Coffee?
I would enjoy some coffee, please.
Is this caffeinated? Is this caffeinated?
Caffeinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I take a little bit. This is probably too much.
He's gonna go speak with the undead.
The undead or the dead?
That's right.
Or the unborn. The unborn. No, I mean, because, okay, this is on my mind because I was at this funeral last week, and this guy, like, was going on and on about how our souls didn't exist, like, you know, 200 years ago. And I just don't know if I agree with
our souls?
Yeah.
Didn't exist 200 years ago?
This guy was making this whole statement. I mean, given my family's a bunch of religious quacks, so I had to kind of put up with it. I just don't agree with it.
I don't understand what the statement was even trying to say.
I don't either, actually. But it was part of his, like, whole sermon about, like, why we should all be Christians, somehow. I mean, I think it was the bottom line.
Of course.
Because there was a lot of different religions in my family, and they made us, like, go up there, even if we weren't religious, mm-hmm. and, like, not accept communion or whatever, but they'd, like, pray for our souls in front of everyone. Come on. That's such a joke.
Yeah.
It was just weird. But it was just so strange to hear, like, one person make this big generalization about
everyone's soul.
Everyone else's soul.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's got the final word, cause he's got the mic or whatever, and he's got the cool outfit.
He somehow knows best.
Next time, you gotta bring a mic and a cool outfit. It's the key.
There's a point.
Yeah.
You can do it too.
You can do it too.
You have to come up with some sort of myth around yourself, though. Around how, why you have the power of the mic. Why you should have the power of the mic.
This is so sweet. Well, it's just uncomfortable because it's like somebody that you care about that's dead, like lying in the box. But then there's this dude talking about, like, and you're like, why are you talking about this?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't, like, the dead have rights to, like, not listen to this bullshit? Like, while they're in the box? It's like,
but is that a,
it's a captive audience.
No, that happened when my friend died, too. I mean, she wasn't Christian at all, but she had, you know, a Christian priest talk at her funeral, and you know, there was, like, all these references to Jesus and meeting Jesus on this hill along with this girl who died. I mean, it was just, like, really, like, you were taken through a visualization in which you had to believe that Jesus was there to guide you, you know, through this process of grieving, you know? And I just, like, I felt the same way. I was, like, why didn't that have to be at her funeral? You know, I don't think she would have liked that.
But so maybe you just need to stipulate in your will.
There'll be no talk about
like everybody's souls starting 2 years, 200 years ago, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand why people who don't know you would talk anyways.
Well, he knew him too.
Did he?
Yeah.
But the will is the key to the rights of the undead.
The will.
I think
I guess that is the key. They do
but
have rights.
You are alive. They do have rights.
Yeah. so, yeah.
Looks like you're out of a job.
Find something else, something on Craigslist. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. And the guy was, like, doing this, like, prayer that was, like, sort of, like, super high speed, like, pray for your soul, don't die, like, all right, go. It's like, how do you multitask, like, giving people, like, the body of Christ and saving people's souls? It's like, that's pretty powerful. How do you get that job? Like, this is bullshit to me.
That sounds like a project.
So over it. Think about it.
Well, it's like with any other like field, you just have to like know a certain language, you know? You have to know a certain like field of data, like, you know, and then you're equipped. Like, I don't know.
Pretty easy to get a certificate to marry people, though, to get ordained. That's
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy in this day and age. A little internet application, you're set.
It's pretty easy, yeah.
Wait, do you just, like, answer questions, or do you take an online?
Depends. I think
you
just need to be like, hey,
so you have to
I want
to
do
money.
This. No.
Really?
I've done
free.
It. Yeah.
It's free.
Like
yeah.
The Church of Argyle or something. The Church of Subgenius.
It's so easy, I don't even know what church made it possible for me to become... I can marry you.
Have you married anyone?
You really?
I haven't. Do you guys...
No, but if I do, I'm gonna let you know.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it could
I'm not opposed to, like, polyamorous marriages or anything.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was just reading about polyamorous...
It wouldn't be couples.
Not polyamorous couples, not marriages. But that, like, people
like,
are, like, talking, you know, using a lot of, like, of the language of the, like,
oh, yes,
gay,
please.
Lesbian
milk,
movement, transgender
mm-hmm.
movement
mm-hmm.
to, like, describe, like, polyamorous, I don't know, polyamorous preferences, I guess, of, like, having multiple partners. Like, this is, like... something I was born with. I prefer having multiple partners because this is like who I am, and you know, and they're like have experienced like similar like
can do what they want.
Like family issues with this and like disavowal in some cases, and I don't know, it's interesting. But then like some scientists think that it's just these are just people that haven't found the right one yet. You know, this is just
some
like
scientists
a phase.
You just haven't found it. Let me tell you, my expert scientific opinion.
The scientists can speak for them. That, they're the ones who speak for the dead also.
That's true.
What can't the scientists speak for?
No one. They can even speak for no one.
You're right. What dangerous people.
That would be the best kind of scientist. It's a scientist that keeps to himself. Or herself. Yeah, wasn't there some crazy, like, shakedown with the... in the Midwest with... like, in Utah? Thank you. With these poly marriages.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine.
It's pretty recently. The big compound, right?
Yeah, big compound with
like
all the kids.
300 kids or something.
Oh, my God.
They couldn't prosecute, though.
Yeah.
Were they all in a polyamorous relationship?
There's only a 300.
Yeah, it was just like,
was like the polyamorous. Combined together.
Wow.
We're talking about different things.
Sorry, I think
we're talking about different things.
I'm talking about people that have, like, multiple boyfriends and girlfriends. And then each of those people have multiple boyfriends and girlfriends. Like, it's like a giant web.
A
like,
web.
This would be polyamorous. Like, marriage would be, you know, one, like, husband and then, like, many wives. The wives don't have other husbands.
I thought that was the case, though. They couldn't really tell who was the parent or something.
Yeah, I think.
Is that why they couldn't, like, they couldn't prosecute? Was it unclear who were the parents and who were not the parents? they couldn't really try them for child abuse because, like,
they couldn't
know.
Figure out who was abusing
them.
Yeah.
Did they ever find the person who supposedly called? Last I heard, they couldn't figure out who it was.
No, they
all. I thought it was this woman
yeah.
that left. It was Sarah something.
They got a call, though, from the compound at one point.
It was from the inside, and it was from one of the older children, but.
They, like, never found that person.
I think they had to send them all back.
Yeah.
That sounds like a better deal, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were talking in this article that I read about how it is very dependent on communication.
<I'm sure.
laughs> How, like, these couples just talk a lot in order to, like, deal with the situation. And you have to be very upfront about what you're doing with another partner.
No, but polyamorous.
To every other partner.
Because polyamorous, the nature of being polyamorous is that everyone in the relationship loves each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like, okay, I'm gonna like love these three people. Are you cool with that? It's like we all mutually
are in a love
relationship.
I don't think. I don't think.
I guess you could say I love you and just send it out to everybody.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
I love you, text.
It consists of meetings and texting.
That's
in mass texting. That's
my phone came with like pre-made text messages, and one of them is "I love you." So wrong.
Who sent it to you? The phone company?
No, it's
the phone.
It's like it might
like quick text
template message.
Oh,
yeah, I can
yeah.
quick text "I love you."
Have you seen that? There's this girl that's photographing text messages of like actual text messages that she's received or that other people have received that are just like wrong to receive as a text message.
Oh,
like
that's fun.
You know,
like,
Brian died.
Or like,
no, I got a text message of somebody dying. It's
really?
Sucked. I was like,
that's terrible.
No, it's really
I was
bad.
Like, what the fuck? Why didn't you leave
yeah.
me a message?
Call my phone.
Yeah,
or I preferred that over, or maybe wait till I get on the phone. Like,
yeah.
Jesus
no,
Christ.
I know. I mean, yeah, and there's like other stuff like, oh gosh, like, what is it? You know, I really feel like we've reached a level of this relationship that is not conducive to, I mean, there's like a lot of like really wordy text messages about like,
the end
ending our relationship throughout
yeah.
this
relationship.
Got a text
yeah.
message breakup recently.
Oh, you know somebody that did?
Yeah.
I dump you? Or I divorce you?
I dump
you. That was also a default text message. It's
really?
Over.
It's over.
It's over,
I
really?
Love you. No.
It's over?
No.
Or I think there's another one that was like, life is like a beautiful thing or something. Like,
In a text.
That person should program all of them into default text messages.
Response modes.
Yeah.
I love you.
I can't retell if somebody says something.
I love when you're with someone
send it back.
And you both get the same text, but it's like it seems like it should be personal. It's obviously not. It's
Are you
a
in a
time.
Polyamorous relationship?
No.
Wait a minute. Can you clarify? I'm confused. I don't think this has happened to me.
Really?
What do you mean?
I've
by
gotten
this?
Texts been like, oh, it was, you know, it was really nice hanging out with you last night. We should totally do it again sometime. And then, like, I'm hanging out with a friend who also got that same text message from the same person. Obviously,
oh man.
They just like sent it to everyone they
well,
saw last
I also
night.
Got text messages like that where my name was just like strategically put in, and it was obvious that. That the name was being
like
hey
it?
Grace, like want to come to my party this weekend?
Oh,
blah, blah, blah,
oh
blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah. Like where it's just like that was like negating it as like a mass text,
yeah.
but it was still a mass.
Yeah.
Text. It was just like slightly more work, I guess.
Yeah, I hate form letters.
Yeah. Do you have an experience to go with that?
I just don't like them.
Okay.
Like, everybody always tries to fake it like it's something else. Like, especially, like, you know what the worst, I think, is when people invite you to see their art. They're like, hey, blah, 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 how are you? Hope all's well. Anyway, about me. It's like 25, like,
oh,
like
God.
Pages of bullshit about their, like, latest piece. And you're just like, okay, when is it, where, and...
I just sent that, like, an hour ago.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a way to, like, subvert the form letter, though? Like, I don't know. I feel like...
Don't
even
send
if you...
it.
I mean, even if you, like, disguised it really heavily, like, it, people would still probably realize by the end
yeah,
that's
of course.
Why you wanted to contact them.
Because you want them to come
right.
out and see your stuff.
In all
know.
Fairness, some people asked... And I don't remember who they were, so I sent it to everyone who might have asked.
It's okay.
It's okay. No, but we're all expecting it.
Thank you.
From you.
We'll get some known for that.
You know what? The
we
one...
like what we expect.
The one area that I think actually outdoes it is the one that's exactly prescribed at the same time every month. Where it's like a catalog update. That
yeah,
one I don't
I've never
mind.
Had that before.
Where like, you know, like you're part of people's mailing list and they're like, update, like Richard Chartier, update. And it's like, this is events this month. And they're just one lines, just title with link. And I'm like, cool. I like that. And I want to be like, hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm blah, blah, blah. This is Barcelona. Like, come see my work. Just like, you know. Like something update 1, 2, 3, like no information. Like if I want to go to the event, I'll click on the link.
Yeah,
you know, like you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you don't
it's a good way to get around
all
that.
By like, hey, you guys, what is
because
I'm good. If there's not
sometimes like I do want to be informed
not
though.
Seductive.
I don't know.
Hey guys, what's up?
I don't know what it is because I think it's like the internet is not letter. And the internet's not a phone call. Like, it's... To me, it's not. But maybe it's just, like, because I'm old. And well, think about the dead a lot, you know? I don't know.
You think about the dead media, too.
And
yeah.
How underserved they are.
God damn it.
I feel like an email's a step up from a Facebook message, though.
An email is a step up?
Yeah. It's a little bit more work. A little bit
oh
more personal.
Oh, my gosh.
I
this
agree.
Is a whole conversation about like technology versus like you know content of message equals this type of like overall signal. I mean, I don't know. That's I don't know. It's interesting to think about what like instant messaging does to like communication with somebody versus email versus I guess Facebook now. I don't.
You should just send out like cards to all of your mailing list in the mail, and then have like links written in there.
A really beautiful card style.
Yeah, like an invitation.
Or, what about like an IMing?
That would really get me. I would actually go to all the links.
I would totally check them out.
Because I'd be like, what a waste of money. It's kind of worth it.
Spend $100 and then like everybody shows up.
It would have to be embossed though, like the paper is like perfectly embossed.
Okay, I'll do it.
I'm trying to have like an IMing type conversation through the mail. That would be like really probably horrible.
Well, lots
tedious.
Of people do that. So it's
yeah,
like it's called mail art. It's a huge thing.
Really?
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's big time.
Well, wait,
yeah.
Mail art.
Yeah, yeah. You make like pieces that are like really ornate or whatever. Original, and then you send them out to like this like list of people that you keep track of, and like all this art is circulating through like the United States Postal Office.
Whoa.
Or probably all over the world.
All over the
yeah.
world.
And,
but
they
those
do.
Are actually like pieces of art though.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay.
You just want to send like the one line that
I
you send an
send
instant
one.
Message.
Like yes.
But I mean in the same sense like in the same sense as art, like it comes in all form, you know, so there's probably like minimalist mail art.
Yeah,
like,
great.
I don't
oh,
know
I'm sure. Hello.
I heard Rick
That's
Ritt
probably
had a pretty piece recently in like Iceland where he like mailed this box there to the show because he wasn't actually going to go, and supposedly it was supposed to everyone in the country was supposed to touch it, like going around the country, being touched by everybody. Yeah.
What was that? The Fluxus artist who posts telegrams that I'm not dead yet.
Oh, and then, like, John Adder, who, like, mailed people,
is,
like, crying.
I
you know,
he's,
like, seen him crying. I know he really...
I don't think he's dead either. I
he's
just don't...
He's a Scientologist!
He's still on the Atlantic.
All three of them are hanging
out. Did you see that boat? It was like a rowboat.
He's, like, him and Jeremy Blake are living
ass.
It up in, like,
badass.
Rio de Janeiro somewhere. I know it. Crying and holding each other's hands. Thinking about guns and cowboys.
He could have never topped that boat piece even if he had lived. So.
I don't know, I think him falling
die.
Was pretty good.
His arm was too great. Crushed him. This dream of his ideas crushed.
I've noticed this quarter, all of my professors have, when we get the syllabus, and it's never had this before, they all say, your artwork must obey university guidelines and cannot harm yourself or anyone around you, or something
really?
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Somebody
I've
died.
Never had that before.
When
it's
I was going to,
sorry,
when I was going to the San Francisco Art Institute, we had somebody in the new genres department do this piece where it was follow the leader, the whole class follows, and they had like practiced beforehand, like rehearsed it or whatever, so they had this planned out route. But the climax of the piece after you go through, it follows you through this whole like architecture of the San Francisco Art Institute, which is like this twisting labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And the quad is like up on the roof, and the climax of the piece is where he gets to the roof and he just goes for a running sprint over the roof. And everybody's supposed to follow him is the idea. But the trick was that he had rehearsed was he jumps over the roof at a certain point and like grabs onto a tree and then climbs down, but he missed the tree and fell to the ground.
Oh my god.
And didn't die, but broke like a lot of stuff. And then, so now at the San Francisco Art Institute, there's a rule that says you're not allowed to jump off the roof.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're
no longer allowed to jump off the roof.
It probably had to do with the Chris Burden thing.
Oh,
right?
Not Chris Burden, I'm sure.
Well,
what happened?
Did
somebody redo it or something?
He was teaching a class. I don't know too much about it, but a student, a grad student, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly played Russian roulette as part of a performance, and he like said it was fake, and it was a big deal.
Well, it was like he went behind a screen and was like finishing the piece, like sort of like ambiguously.
Yeah.
Like, is he? Does he have the gun pointed at his head? Does he have
it
pointed at a wall?
Like, it went off.
And it went off. Yeah. So,
still,
and then
I won't hurt myself.
And then
like the
Chris
I should
Burden
be able to
resigned.
Hurt myself.
Chris Burden did resign because he was blamed for it, right? It was like a big conversation. University-wide.
Yeah, it was. I mean, a lot of people think now that
he
like,
wanted
really had
anyways.
Wanted to quit anyway. Yeah. But he was ready
here.
To leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was like away from the students, but still, like the bullet could have ricocheted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because of what happened in Virginia Tech.
Well, I think it happened. It happened before that.
Did it?
I think so.
No, I mean like the reason why they put the things up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because
that makes sense.
There's such a liability now, and
mm-hmm.
they've made all these like systematic changes for text messaging on emergencies. University-wide, like if there's an earthquake or whatever, it's supposed to text you.
Yeah.
If there's a gunman on campus, it's supposed to text you.
Wow.
Do you remember the crossbow scare in Westwood?
No.
Oh, wasn't there a guy that got pissed in a car and he pulled out a crossbow?
I was like, awesome,
because I was like, that's how you take care of business here. I'm like, that's awesome.
Some guy was like shooting a crossbow in his apartment last year, and the neighbor like saw him and freaked out and. All of Westwood was, like, on lockdown for a couple hours.
When was that? Was that last year?
I think it was last year, yeah.
Okay, maybe it was gone.
I had to tell, like, students at my work that they needed to watch out.
Wow.
There was a kid at Micah where I went to undergrad, like, after I left there, he was, like, a freshman and I was a grad student or something. And the assignment was to take a 16 by 16 inch square and expand it to 16 by 16 feet. he made a bomb. And he was like, here, wear these, like, aluminum foil suits, and we'll... Like, he constructed all the stuff out of chemicals and stuff like that and brought it into class and set it up. And the bomb squad had to come and, like, take it apart, and he was fine. Like, I don't know. It's like $6,000. Well, he was an art student. He was just thinking about, like...
Yeah, I know, but...
He wasn't thinking about, like, what it actually meant to mix those chemicals. He was just thinking it was cool to make, like, shrapnel, like, go different directions. But what was cool is the university gave him, not the university, but the art school gave him, he was a good artist, and they gave him an award that year, and it covered the cost of the bomb.
But he didn't actually get to see the bomb go off.
No, because the instructor was actually smart enough to realize that, like, this was a really dangerous situation and evacuated the building.
Well, no. You can't, like, make a bomb and think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
No, that's...
And, like, then the school, like, pays him off.
The school actually...
Like, that's great. Good job.
a little enabling, right?
Good job to make a bomb and bring it to school.
Unfortunately, we can't actually enact it, but good, like, good
thinking.
We
wish we could have detonated it. We'll pay you for the fine. As, like, a runner-up.
Well, that's not the first time that that institution, like, did something for a student that did something bad. Like, another kid, like, hit an old person in a car. And they kind of covered it up.
Wow.
Like, they're like, campus police took care
of
it.
He did it for an art project?
For an art project?
No,
it was just
drunk.
He was drunk. Yeah. Wow. It's like, I guess it's the difference between being a public and a private university, like, or a private school. It's a private school, you can kind of sweep whatever you want underneath the rug, whereas, at least in the University of California system, it seems like there's some accountability.
Yeah.
So as much as there are rules, it's actually probably a good thing.
Well, we had, like, some stuff at San Francisco Art Institute that was very questionable, but, like, I don't remember anybody getting an award for it. Like, at best, they didn't get kicked out, but getting paid? That's a whole
nother. I mean, it was for a different piece. It's just, like, he happened.
Oh, they didn't give him an award for the bomb.
No. It's for, like, he was, like, a good artist.
Oh, I
but,
see.
Like, if you're...
He had a previous one.
It was like, that was like a project and like a foundation, like, intro to color class. It was seriously intro to color. Blood red.
Yeah.
I don't know. This, you know, talk about the phenomenology of it or something. Everyone's like, ooh. Yeah, but then if they had died, they would have had some rights, the dead people.
Oh, definitely.
No, they don't. They don't have any rights. Unless they have living will.
I love how we have these themes.
It's been a pretty morbid dinner.
Okay, no, really. Can we make, like, plate music?
The recording. I found the Requiem.
The what?
Requiem from Mozart.
Mine won't work.
Mine doesn't work either. No, you have to use a big glass.
Yeah, that's cool. No, that's too thick. I probably need one.
Mm-hmm.
See?
There you go.
Oh, now you have the orchestra going.
Why doesn't
it? It's probably too small. I don't need to get another one. There you go. Try this one. It's probably gonna work.
Many different, like, levels, right?
Yeah, depending on.
Okay, you need to fill it or less fill it.
Oh, yes!
That doesn't sound very good. No, it sounds awesome.
It's not working.
Or we're summoning the dead, maybe. So you can tell them what their rights are.
It's like I'm reading the Miranda
Act. Ask them a question.
Can you
please.
Circle.
Yeah, the battery life is just...
still a circle.
Oh, good times.
It's not a square
still.
Yet.
Still, Luke.
Okay, should we go once more just to accompany Mozart?
He's dead.
We're summoning Mozart.
Well, they tried to do, what is the person who burns the pianos, Ania Lockwood, they tried to invite her to campus at Brooklyn College, but they couldn't afford to hire the fireman. They had the piano, it was ready to burn, they had Ania Lockwood, but they couldn't afford
the fireman.
Cooney was like, we're not paying. They should have taken it off campus into, like, Bed-Stuy. Would have been fine.
In an empty lot.
We should protest. Protest the White Gallery.
Fire's there anyways.
Yeah.
It's a big gallery, though. Which is nice.
There's a lot of space in this world.
Make a hologram.
Hologram. That's what I want to do. Hologram.
Are you going to create a hologram at this dinner table? Like,
yeah.
No, if you want to have a fire, you just, like, cut up some cellophane and put a fan under it.
That's too cheap.
With
that's
a light.
That's
and then you play the music of a fire. Crackle it.
It's all about sound effects.
No one pays close enough attention.
Yeah.
Craft
doesn't
matter anyway.
It's like what?
Semiotics. Just write the word fire on it. 25
seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Show,
this is on fire. On fire.
Craft doesn't matter.
I need good material for the recording. Come on. That was good.
You just give us a script.
But don't get too self-conscious.
What the fuck? Yeah, you're directing.
No. What was good? We'll do it again.
I'm not doing it again. I'm not getting paid. I'll do it again if you give me some money.
Did you take any other form of currency?
No, just cash.
Hold on, cash.
What about love?
I was gonna ask.
Just cash.
Love, but I love you. I'll send you
a
text message.
You're
at the same time.
I'll send a text message to the four of you.
It's like, no, okay, but I love you.
I love you guys.
I love you guys.
I love you guys.
Oh, are we trying to come up with a dramatic conclusion to the dinner?
Fire!
What beats fire?
Water.
The food was poison.
Sometimes.
The food. Listen to this. The food was poison.
Oh my god.
You're gonna die.
Wait, quick, tell us what are gonna be our rights in
your
eyes.
You're gonna
fight
fire and really slow death tonight. Yes.
That's okay.
Right?
Food was good. Right.
We have our lawyer. It was a good last supper.
Yeah.
Oh god, that's why he invited me.
No.
He was just trying to take out the competition.
I know.
No one else can do dinner.
Are you doing food?
It's right, he's keeping his enemies closer
like,
than his
starting
friends.
Next week.
Oh, were you the person advertising for the multiple dinners
I was.
In a row? No.
God, can you send emails like outside of your department?
I tried to send it to my whole department. And they wouldn't
do
that.
It was on the first and second floor. Everybody takes the elevator, right?
You didn't see it. You gotta work.
Seriously,
out of your
probably 30 people have come up to me and been like, "I saw your flyer, and it looked really interesting, and I thought about it." Thank you. Really appreciate you telling me that now. I had to change the date and.
Did you get people?
Finagle some acquaintances into volunteering.
Well, it's already been thought-provoking, so that's good.
Yes. I did get people. Should be a good group, actually. It's like different spheres of my life mixing oddly, so it's always
they don't
weird.
Know each other?
No. A couple know each other, but some work people and some friends and then one art major.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
We love you.
Way to make an exit.
He left.
It's quite
that's how, that's how it ends.
Yeah. I think it's we're approaching the end of all of this. With that music.
Maybe we should just end by turning up the volume.
It's over.
Should I stop the recording?